Christians are not strangers to persecution. Persecution and suffering are at the heart of our 2,000 years as a church. Throughout salvation history, we see persecution and martyrdom of those who refuse to renounce their faith in God. In fact, renouncing your faith in God is such a powerful sin that we have a word for it. It's called apostasy. Say the word apostasy. Apostasy. Say it again. Apostasy. Apostasy. Come on, learn this word. Apostasy. It's a word that's very Christian. It captures a very important concept, that of renouncing our faith. Apostasy. You've said it three times. You can use it in a sentence today. You just learned a new word. Most people don't realize this, but less than 100 years ago, Mexico was one of the most advanced Catholic countries in the world, with Catholic schools, Catholic hospitals, orphanages, monasteries, convents. The people were very well formed 100 years ago. They're still one of the largest Catholic countries on planet Earth, but something important happened. Less than 100 years ago, in Mexico, a 14-year-old boy, Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio, he's known as Joselito, was detained by Mexican soldiers in the Cristero Wars. They tortured him for his faith. They even cut off the flesh off the bottom, off the soles of his feet, and then made him walk through his town, bleeding barefoot toward the cemetery. And he was killed in the cemetery by the soldiers. Along the way, they cut him, they sliced him with machetes, 14-year-old boy. They were trying to get him to renounce Jesus Christ. At times, they stopped him on the way to the cemetery and told him, "If you shout death to Christ the King, we will spare your life." Jose would only shout back, "I will never give in. Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King." Joselito, as he was called, was blessed by John Paul II and then canonized a saint by Pope Benedict XVI. San Joselito, Saint Joselito. And this 14-year-old boy was faced with apostasy, 14 years old. And he was asked to renounce his faith, and he stood firm against the apostasy and held on to his faith to the very end. A 14-year-old boy. The Cristero War, which happened less than 100 years ago, began when the Mexican government began eliminating church privileges and seizing church properties throughout the country in accordance with anti-clerical laws written into the Mexican Constitution of 1917. You have to put yourself back in that time frame. Less than 100 years ago, we had the Bolshevik revolution in Russia. Communism began to spread in Russia and in other countries around the world, and it came to Mexico and affected even their new constitution. The church was considered evil. Communism and socialism hate the church, but secular forces hated the church. President Plutarco Calles, who took office in 1924, focused on the Roman Catholic Church, which led to a seizure of church property, the closing of religious schools, monasteries, convents, and the exile or the execution of priests. Once they started executing priests less than 100 years ago in Mexico, the people rose up. And the ensuing cry that they raised to the government was, Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King! A priest martyr was photographed by newspaper photographers in Mexico City. He was being executed for refusing to denounce his faith. Saint Miguel Pro. He was a Jesuit priest trained in Belgium, very well educated. He would continue taking communion around Mexico City, even when it was illegal. And he would hold mass in people's homes when people couldn't go into churches. People were shot coming out of mass on Sunday during this terrible time. San Miguel Pro is shown holding his rosary at the moment he was shot. He's the only martyr that's ever been photographed. And he was standing in front of the firing squad in his prison. And we have this photograph. I have this picture. And he's holding his rosary in one hand. And he's standing on a cross. And he shouts, Viva Cristo Rey! Boom! They call it the Cristero War because of Cristo Rey. Mexican Catholics rose up and they rebelled against the tyranny, and that war became known as the Cristero War. The Cristeros lost. The government remained in power and Mexico has not fully recovered. You may or may not know, I lived for several years in Mexico, and even in my lifetime, living in Mexico City and traveling in Mexico, it was against the law for a priest to wear his clerics in public, to wear his collar. They're just getting over that. This time is still affecting Mexico, and Mexico has not fully recovered. If you think that can't happen here, then you don't know your history. You're not paying attention to your own history. Salvation history, the history of the church, the history of God's revelation to man, the history of secularism and communism and hatred of our faith and our church. We have 2,000 years of similar stories of persecution and of people who are loyal to Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the devil, just take a careful look at history over 2,000 years and more. Religious freedom must be defended by our witness, our very lives, our faithfulness, even to death. We must avoid apostasy. Our struggle is not imaginary. It's not obsolete. It's not a fiction of history. Oh, that was then, this is now. No. No, nothing's changed. Just look at our government attempts during the pandemic to close churches nationwide, worldwide, during the pandemic. There were people who went to church who were arrested. Pastors were arrested just in the last 2 years. Thank God we have a Catholic governor in the state of Texas, and he made it illegal to harass any church service during the pandemic. The city of Austin sent inspectors here to me when we opened up the church, and we dared to open up Mass again in May of 2020. You may or may not remember that, but we were coming out of that 6-week lockdown, and we held our masses out on the field where we figured it would be safer. The city got wind of it and sent a, an official inspector out to come and find out if we were doing something wrong. Well, we stood up to them, and we went on and opened up our church and started having masses again. It's important for us to celebrate our faith. Just look at the assaults upon the truth and justice in the past week. If you were watching the trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin, there had been a narrative that had been in the press about a certain way things unfolded in those events of that riot in Kenosha in 2020. And then in the trial, they showed the actual videos, and the videos didn't support the newspaper and cable TV accounts. And the prosecution was presenting the narrative that was in the press, and the videos didn't show the same truth. And the videos were true. Public manipulation and government lies are becoming more and more commonplace in American society. On the other hand, look at how God has revealed himself and prepared his faithful to understand our place in the world and our place in the universe. Almost 200 years before the birth of Jesus, Greek rulers in Israel were attempting to wipe out God's faithful, the Jewish religion, and to encourage apostasy among the Jews. Alexander the Great, about 300 years before the birth of Jesus, conquered that whole area of Palestine and Israel. It was a brutal time, and the generations that followed, the Greek-speaking leaders tried to impose a Greek paganism on people. Even the temple was profaned with idols in the temple, and sacrifices were forbidden, and Jews fled. The visions of Daniel in exile in Babylon centuries before were told over and over again to the Jewish people to encourage them to stay strong. Daniel, 200 years before Jesus, was said to be sharing this, like we heard in the first reading, "The one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed." Daniel, the prophet, was talking about Christ the King, the Messiah. Jesus was persecuted for his faith by the Jewish leaders and hauled before Pilate, who asked Jesus if he were a king. Listen again. Jesus answered Pilate, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And for this response, he was crucified. If we stand for truth against the narrative of the world, we will be ridiculed, we'll be persecuted. Just look around. The world has its narrative and warns that no one should challenge the world's narrative. This is being played out right now in many arenas. And we've been seeing it on TV all weekend. People don't want to accept the truth right in front of them. They're still telling the lies. The world's narrative demands chaos as a response. And let's pray to God that the nation doesn't explode in chaos again like in 2020. But that's their response to the inconvenience of truth. This narrative and this violence has been playing out in the streets of our nation over the past year and a half. If you challenge the world's narrative, then you do so at your own risk. Ask those who stand against abortion, pro-life. Ask St. Joselito. Ask San Miguel Pro. Ask the Cristeros who cried out, Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King.